What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Phillies Today. It's Francisco Rojas here to talk to you guys about yet another series win. Another series win for the Philadelphia Phillies as they sit here at 42-37 on the season. That's a good thing to say. Five games over 500. At this point in the season, where they were to start the year, and the ebbs and flows of obviously every baseball season, but especially for the Philadelphia Phillies this year, 42-37, heading, into the month of July as we wrap up June here, tonight. You'll see Taijuan Walker against Kyle Hendricks, on the mound, for both the Phils and the Cubs to wrap up the series finale. But the Phillies get a big win to last night against those Cubbies by the final score of 8-5. The offense showed up, and they needed to because we didn't see last year's Aaron Nola. We saw more of this year's Aaron Nola, the Aaron Nola of a couple of years ago, the very, very inconsistent Aaron Nola. We're going to get into that, but going to do, for the most part, a normal show for you guys today. Recap last night's game, get into my takeaways from said game, and we'll preview tonight's matchup between Walker and Hendricks. And then we'll get to some news and notes as we saw some exciting stuff last night from a pitcher that took some time off of the Navy and finally comes back to baseball. You probably know who I'm talking about. We'll get to that. And then we'll get to a perfect game was thrown last night. In Major League Baseball. And we have to mention that. So we'll wrap up the show there, talk about that perfect game, and then look at some of the scores around the National League East and possibly around Major League Baseball, update you on the standings. As I will tell you, the Phillies do sit third in the National League East. So let's start with the key moments, recap from last night, fast forward to the second inning. Two-run bomb. From both Edmundo Sosa to make it a 2-0 game. And then also Nick Castellanos later that inning hits a 3-run dinger. Man, it was all the way up there. Finally comes down in left field right over the ivy for Nick Castellanos, who has been super hot. And we'll get into him in the takeaways. He has a big game against his former team. In the Chicago Cubs. So Phils will take a 5-0 lead there. And then in the bottom of the third inning, Cubs rookie Jared Young gets his first home run of his career. Always exciting for a major league hitter to get his first home run of his career. So that would make it a 5-1 game. Fourth inning, more of the same from Nick Castellanos. A little different this time. A blooper in the outfield. Castellanos ends up an RBI double, and that would make it a 6-2 game. And then later in the inning, Bryce Harper with an RBI single that would score Nick Castellanos to make it a 7-1 game. I think I said 6-2 game there from Castellanos. I think it was 6-1, excuse me. And then bottom of the fourth, later in the half inning, Dansby Swanson, there's a second run. Dansby Swanson with a solo homer off Aaron Nola. Nola really having trouble with the long ball this year. Not great. Nola also, but three walks in this game as well. Very uncharacteristic of Aaron Nola, but the home runs haven't been this year. So Dansby Swanson with a solo homer to make it a 7-2 game in the favor of the Fightins. And then the fifth inning, this is where the scoring would pretty much stop. Aside from the ninth inning, where it really didn't matter anymore. But Josh Harrison would cap the Phillies night by the fifth inning with a solo homer to make it an 8-2 game. And then bottom of the fifth, Christopher Morel would walk with the bases loaded. Nick Madrigal would score. Aaron Nola walks in a run there with the bases loaded. And then Mike Talkman scores on a ground out, a force out. And that would make it an 8-4 game. And that would be all for Aaron Nola. Nola, not a good night, man. We're really looking for Nola to start to pick it up. And this is where, and we're going to get into Nola in just a second. But Nola just continuing the really mediocre season he's having, especially obviously for his standards, coming off a season where he finished fourth in Cy Young voting. And, you know, really also coming off a start in Atlanta, or against Atlanta, where he went six innings, just two hits, no earned, a couple of walks, five strikeouts. I mean, this is just a theme of, I think, to this point, we'll get into this. And then, you know, later in the ninth inning, Jose Alvarado gets into a little bit of trouble. He does give up a run, but ends up getting Christopher Morel out to end the game. And the Phils will win this game by a score of 8-5. So I kind of indicated the takeaways from this game. I kind of already indicated, you know, by the recap there from talking about Nola even a little bit there, and the offense as well, working in the offense. Nola's making it, I don't want to say he's making it difficult, the trade deadline now, because I still think they're in the same position. Like, I still think you need, like, it's been debated a lot on social media, on the radio, obviously, at WIP, and just by Phillies fans in general, that, oh, it's, do you need a corner outfielder? Do you need a fifth starter? Do you need a corner infielder? And right now, I mean, Aaron Nola is really making it difficult. You know, if Nola was just looking like he did last year, I still think they would go out and get a fifth starter. But this is worrying me, man, because, like, I think that Dombrowski is going to go out and probably just go get a fifth starter, like I think we were originally thinking. But it's just really frustrating. Like, you need, especially for a postseason run, like, I still think they can make the postseason. I still think they kind of will. I like the kind of feel I've had on this season is that they're going to be a wild card team, and they're a team that's going to lose. I know we're sitting here in June and I'm projecting here, but I'm still feeling like it's going to be they're going to be a wild card team, and they might lose like the wild card or the divisional round. I know that's not like super optimistic, but kind of the way I'm feeling there is also like Aaron Nola. Like, if this is the Aaron Nola of 2021 and what we've seen so far, then this team really, they're definitely not a World Series team at this point. Definitely not a World Series team, right? Like, you're not going to rely on Taijuan Walker, Ranger Suarez. And they've been great, and I want them continuing to be great. But Taijuan and Suarez have almost looked like aces, right? Their last 5-6 starts. Like Walker's been great, and hopefully he continues tonight against the Cubs. But you're not going to rely on that. And hey, maybe they do. Maybe they continue this. I mean, but Taijuan Walker is known to not have great second half. So that's not great to think about either. But you can't rely on them. Nola has to be, he's supposed to be one of your horses. It's supposed to be him and Wheeler. And Wheeler's been better, but, like, I mean, Wheeler is not also up to his standards that he's been since 2019, since coming to Philadelphia. So I'm, like, Nola's really making this tough, like, to look, like, at the deadline, they're definitely going to, like, for me, my mind, now they're definitely getting a fifth starter. Like, they're not getting the Caesars of the world. They're probably not even getting Giolito, like a Bieber. They're definitely not getting Bieber unless you want to give up, like, Painter. Like, that's how I see it. Unless they're able to get one of those arms, they're definitely not getting C's without giving up Painter. But even like Bieber, like, they're not giving up. Like, these teams are going to want Painter, especially, like, a lot of teams need pitching. Like, it's every year. Teams need pitching. Like, Cincinnati Reds are in it. They need pitching. Like, there are a lot of teams out there that they're going to need pitching that are in pennant races, okay? They're in, you know, positions to try to, you know, make the wild card, whatever you may have it. So, like, there are guys, like, out there that I'm looking at right now that are more feasible for the Phils, especially, like, if you're Dave Dombrowski, and we know Dombrowski's track record. Like, was reading some articles, Paul Blackburn from the A's. He was an all-star last year. I know he's had some injury problems this year as well. Blackburn's name. Zach Greinke, you know, aside from his last start, I know his ERA isn't like, it's got to be like over 6 at this point. I forget what it is. But it's not looking great. But aside from that, it's like his 9 starts before his last start out, like, he had an ERA under 4, which is, you know, good. Maybe Greinke would be a good back end. He's got the, you know, playoff experience. He's got, you know, he could be a Hall of Famer. I know he's not a Hall of Famer like right now, like the way he is or you know is his career. But then there's the Tigers. I looked at Michael Lorenzen might be somebody. He's probably been one of their better pitchers this year. The Tigers. Tigers suck. They'll be selling. Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez. I know he's injured right now, and he's scheduled to like you know maybe make a start or two before he comes back before the trade deadline. Maybe he would be somebody too. That's possible. But like those are the names that, and I think I did a pod on for Phillies today, maybe about a month ago, talking about this. And maybe I'm still in kind of the same spot. But like Aaron Nola is not like it's worrying me because like you, I know that we can talk about last year and say it was it's sort of lightning in a bottle. But like I want to get back to the World Series, man, and I want to win it. Like, no matter what, like, you know, Phil's fan at heart. So, like, I want to see them get back there. And I think we all know that Nola is a big key to this. Nola is a big key. So, you know, takeaways. I know that I kind of went off at a tangent about the deadline and whatnot. But, you know, takeaways from this game is that, like, you just can't trust Aaron Nola this year. It's at this point in the year. It's been 3 months now. This is who Aaron Nola is this year. You know, I know Nola got it together last September, and when we, you know, the whole thing is that, oh, Nola sucks in September, which he has in the past. He sucked in September. But maybe he does change and he has a good second half. I don't know, but the feeling I'm getting right now, Aaron Nola, this is who he is for the season. You know, last night goes 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, a couple of home runs, not a good outing from Aaron Nola. We don't like to see it. I know Topper kind of spoke well of Nola last night besides the home runs and whatnot, but I'm not, and it's good that Topper's supporting, you know, his players, but at the same time, come on, as fans, let's go. And quickly on the offense, I know I went really long there on that takeaway, but I think it's important for this team. 8 runs on 11 hits last night for the offense, big takeaway. Nick Castellanos, great game. His last 30 games, 342, 386, 558 slug. 5 homers, 23 ribbies, and this is the last 30 games. It's got, I mean, really serious consideration for All-Star game. Really serious consideration to what Nick Castellanos has done to this point in the season, okay? And everyone hit in this game but JT Realmuto, but he even still had a walk, and that was in the starting lineup. So great offensive outburst, especially the way Nola pitched last night. Not great. Good way to take the series, even though Nola wasn't great. Tonight, we have Taijuan Walker on the mound for the Phils. He has been absolutely nails. Last time out against the Mets, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks, 1 walk, gave up a homer. I mean, he's been nails. What can we say? He's been great. He's gotten his ERA down to 4.1. That's you know, just right around league average, you know, from where it was earlier in the season where he had a terrible, terrible start. It's great to see. Kyle Hendricks has looked good in the 6 starts since returning from injury where he was, you know, missed the first 60 days from a shoulder injury. Kyle Hendricks obviously has had a pretty good career. And so we'll see. Hopefully we can kind of light up Hendricks tonight, and Phils can get a sweep, because that would be big. 6 games over 500 in a sweep, that would be super great for the Phils. And then you have the Nats this weekend, and I didn't even mention the bat. What am I doing here? I mentioned all the pitching there, but also the bat, and this kind of clicked on as soon as I mentioned the Nats. We also still need a bat as far as the deadline goes, and you know, I don't think they're going to... Jock Peterson, I've been thinking about him for a little while, but the Giants aren't going to sell. Like, knowing who the Giants are, and they were going after Carlos Correa this offseason, that didn't work out, obviously. But I don't think they're going to get Peterson. Maybe Elaine Thomas. I don't know what the asking price would be there for Elaine Thomas, but Elaine Thomas would be a good one, man. Elaine Thomas, an outfielder, you know, throw him out there. Harper plays first base. Elaine Thomas... you know, maybe put Schwarber DH. I think Castellanos has been better fielder than Schwarber. So maybe you put Thomas there in left field and Schwarber DHs. I mean, 298 average, 346 on base, 513 slugging. He's got 14 homers on the year. He's got a OPS 37% above league average, a WAR a baseball reference WAR of 2.5. It's good. He's all-star level. At least this year he has been. So Lane Thomas definitely on my radar as far as a bat goes, because he definitely still need a bat. So that came up as I had this in my notes, but I was so focused on the pitching there. But you still need a bat too. I think you're gonna need a bat and an arm at the deadline. So Nats this weekend after the Cubs. News and notes, Noah Song. Remember him? Remember the guy that they were supposed to get? They claim after he doesn't play Major League Baseball or doesn't play baseball at all because being in the Navy, right? That's what it was, right? Because he was in the Navy. Pretty sure that's what it was. But last night, he struck out one batter in a perfect inning in his first rehab appearance with Clearwater yesterday, single A Clearwater, threw six fastballs. They ranged from 91.8 miles per hour to 93.5. That's according to Todd Zalecki, Phillies beat reporter at MLB.com. And it's pretty awesome, man. It's pretty cool to see. I know, you know, in 2019, when he was pitching with a pro team, I forget who it was, but he was throwing gas, like high 90s. So, you know, hopefully he can get back there. But, you know, this is just the ramp up to, you know, had the back tightness earlier this year. So good to see him back on, you know, back on the mound doing his thing. So I think that's great to see. It's fun. It's a fun story for your baseball fan, if you're a Phillies fan, obviously. So cool to see Noah Song. Has a good inning there. Has a good inning. As he played against Bradenton, Pittsburgh affiliate, in the Florida State League. So cool to see for Noah Song. And then let's get to around the league, and maybe we'll look at some of the National League East scores. But I really want to, you know, we got to give some time here. I mean, 24th perfect game last night in Major League Baseball. I was following this right after the Phils game. And they had it on MLB Network, as they should have, as what happens when there's a perfect game happening. So Domingo Herman becomes the fourth Yankee in history to throw a perfect game. I believe it was Don Larsen, obviously, for his World Series perfect game. David Wells in 98, and then David Cone in 99. And so that, what, first Yankee in 24 years, and then 24th pitcher ever. Threw 9 strikeouts and 99 pitches against the Oakland Athletics. Yes, it's against the Oakland Athletics. They are not the best team in baseball. They literally have 21 wins on the year, 21-61, a 25% winning percentage. It doesn't matter. I don't care. They're a major league team. There are major league players on that roster. You could say whatever you want about them. I don't care. For Domingo Herman to do what he did is an incredible feat in itself. So really awesome to see for the Yankees for the Yankees, and if you're a baseball fan in general. I know Domingo Herman isn't the most liked guy for things that he's done in the past, but regardless, he pitches a perfect game, and it's really, really cool to see. Really cool to see. So first Yankee to throw a perfect game since David Cone on July 18th, 1999, and the 24th pitcher ever. I think he was the first since, was it Felix? It was Felix Kane or Humber in 2012 for him to throw a perfect game, to be the first one to throw one since then. There were three that year. That's insane to think about. And there have been none in 11 years. There have been some close calls. There have been a lot of no-hitters since then, but no perfect games. I mean, obviously, 24 perfect games in, what, 200 years that baseball has existed. So it's pretty insane. So really cool to see. Guys have been close, you know, in maybe the last decade, but to do that is just unbelievable. So congratulations, Domingo Herman. Definitely wanted to spend a couple of minutes to talk about him there, just to congratulate him, as the Yankees won that game 11-0 against the Oakland Athletics behind Domingo Herman's perfect game. And then just to update you guys before we get out of here on some of the standings. Braves won yet again yesterday. Like I've said before, like I'm not like the last couple, like the last month, I have not been focused, especially as the Phils have had like a teeter tottery season, but have been better as of, you know, in June. But not looking at the division. The Braves won again yesterday, 53-27 division. The Marlins come in at second, 47-34, as they beat Boston last night, 6-2. And then Phils 42-37 behind their win over the Cubs last night. The Mets 36-44 as they lose to the Brewers 5-2 last night. The Mets are just, you know, Steve Cohen has his press conference, says, oh, I don't even know why this is a big event. I'm not going to get too much of a tangent here, but the Mets just, it's a lost season for the Mets. Let's just put it that way. It is a lost season for the Mets. They're 36-44, 17 games back in the National League East. Washington 32-48, and they beat Seattle last night 4-1. So there you go. Washington at 32-48. Just wanted to check out some of the wild card standings here in the National League. So Miami currently holds the top spot. Miami's just, man, 47-34. San Fran 45-35 in the second spot, and then holding the last spot, LA Dodgers at 44-35, as Arizona is leading the NL West still, 48-33. Maybe they're just that good. And then the Phils, two games back in the wild card of the Dodgers, 42-37. So, you know, it's June, but why not mention the standings? And then the Brewers are right behind the Phils, 2.5 back, 42-38. So, yeah, that's gonna do it for me today. Hopefully, again, we can get a series sweep against the Cubbies at Wrigley. I feel like, you know, maybe the tide changed at Wrigley, because I feel like every time I watch the Phils at Wrigley, they lose two of three or they get swept. So it just feels that way. But, you know, they've already won the series. They've already won the season series right against the Cubs. They don't play them again, right? They played them twice, unless the balance schedule has them playing again at some point this year. But against the Cubs tonight, Taiwan Walker against Kyle Hendricks. Hopefully the Phils can get a win. So that's going to do it for me. I will talk to you guys on Monday. Hopefully we will be talking about another series win against the Washington Nationals. And then I might want to get into some sort of like midseason awards, some sort of thing. I'm going to probably plan for that. And we'll talk about the series against the Nationals on Monday. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. Everyone have a phenomenal weekend. Go Phils, and hopefully we're talking about a series win against the Nats. See ya.